A colossal monster tearing through the streets. A city in ruins. Nowhere to hide. Until he finds a way out behind the wheel of the all-electric Toyota CHR. Instant torque, getaway handling, and immeasurable wow factor. John Cho stars in Escape. Experience the thrill. Test drive Toyota's new all-electric family at your local dealer. Toyota, let's go places.
Moncrief on News Talk.
It is time for Four Questions, where we look back over the weekend and forward to the week ahead. The four questions, as ever, are: what delighted you over the weekend? What annoyed you? What did you learn? And what are you looking forward to? The people to answer them are Donal O'Donoghue and Maya Dunphy. Good afternoon to you both.
Good afternoon.
You had a family get together, Maya.
I did. What delighted me is a very wholesome one this week. My family is very small because my mum was an only child and wasn't Irish, so we have no cousins on that side, and my dad only had one brother, which is unusual for Irish Spanish families to be so small, is unusual. But I do have three first cousins, and you know how Irish people especially, we say we must catch up, and then nobody organises things, and another year goes by. So I'm trying to get better at saying let's plan something, even if it's days, weeks or months away. So we had a barbecue at my dad's house with my first cousins and their kids, and for my little boy it was so lovely to meet his second cousins and be part of.
Yeah, I can never figure that. Yeah, your first cousin's kids are what to your kids? Are second cousins to your kids?
Well, it kind of goes cross. So, like, their kids are my first cousins once removed, and our children are all second cousins.
Yeah, I still find that difficult.
I still find the whole cousin thing. Yeah. What does once removed mean?
It means that it's not a direct line. So if you and I were cousins, we're first cousins. And if your child and my child and me and your child, the line goes that way. It's once removed. So it's once removed from the first cousin.
Right.
And
generation.
Then that next level is second cousins. Their kids to the parents will be second cousins once removed. Their children will be third cousins. And then you can start marrying them. You're fine after third cousins.
Oh, can you? That's grand.
I don't know that for a fact.
And you know, I often think that kids and their cousins, that, well, it depends on their age, but like that they have to, if they're with their friends or if they're at school, they have to act a certain way. They feel those pressures that they might necessarily feel with a cousin.
Yeah, cousins are quite special, and I feel like we missed out a bit, so we're going to try and right that wrong moving forward.
Yeah, okay,
so
that's good.
Nice.
That was nice. And what delighted you was a little-known sporting event that happened at the weekend, Donal.
Yes. And do you know what? It was really nice. We ended up watching it in a gastropub, and I timed it perfectly. I timed it perfectly.
Sorry, Donal. Could you be more bougie?
I know. You could have just said pub.
Well, I timed it perfectly because a thing came up on Facebook that showed this beautiful meal they had. It was like a half chicken and lemon with honey roasted root veg, and it was absolutely fantastic. So we arrived just in time as the match was starting, but I was genuinely delighted to see Mayo finally getting it over the line. You know, after the decades of the curse, which of course isn't a real thing.
No, it's interesting.
I didn't know this either. I thought it was real. There's
no evidence. In fact, from the story that's told, it couldn't have happened because they weren't in a bus. Because it was supposedly they overtook a funeral when they're in the bus and a priest cursed them.
Yes,
they weren't in a bus. They were in a van, and they weren't in Foxford that day either. So, but apparently the story about the curse only really emerged in the 1990s.
Correct.
So
yes.
It's a kind of internet.
After a bad run of luck for Mayo, this kind of urban myth of the curse came about. But the point of it how I see it is this, is that in your subconscious, if you've grown up, like think of how good Mayo are. I think, 19 times in the final or whatever since 1951, but never getting across the line. That's got to pick away at you. And it reminded me a little bit of, you know, the Ireland versus the All Blacks rugby thing, where for 100 years we couldn't beat them until 2016 when we got the win. And then we've won against New Zealand 8 times in the last 10 years or 10 years. I just thought it was great to see. I think the team played fantastically. There were great players like Brian O'Donoghue, who was immense. You've the young Kobe McDonald, who was absolutely fearless. But the lovely part was seeing Andy Moran, who, you know, he knows what near misses felt like for Mayo as a player, and to have come back as a manager and instill that belief in them. I just thought it was beautiful.
Yeah.
That was magic. Do you know what's funny though? How plausible it is for Irish people that a priest did put that curse. No one said,
no,
that
absolutely.
Sounds up. That couldn't have happened. Okay, yeah, that's totally plausible.
And that's the story that's probably gone around the world since yesterday. All priests cursed them, and you know what the Irish are like.
Priests,
you know,
are desperate for a bit of cursing.
Dancing around bonfires. At the same time, though, if you're in a team now, would you, because it's almost magical thinking to think that because previous teams never got it over the line in a final, that you won't either.
Well,
it's not logical.
I know, but I think on a subconscious level in sport, that happens. Like we saw it with the rugby, or if you go back to before Brian O'Driscoll scored the hat trick against France in Paris, and then Irish rugby changed. We've had the last 25 years of this incredible team, but before that, we couldn't win against Scotland. Sometimes it takes a grassroots players kind of revolution to kind of, just get that belief and watch what happens with this Mayo team now. I think with that bit of extra belief that they've got it across the line, yeah, big things.
Well, psychologists will tell you superstitions are very powerful things and they can undermine how you think and how you behave.
Yeah, they can make you believe, even though we like to think we're logical, but we're not really that logical. It's terrible, really, isn't it? Well, I suppose maybe if we were totally logical, we'd be boring. We'd be robots.
Well, that's in our near future anyway.
Yeah, that's bound to happen.
Keep the superstitions going, please.
Right, so you can be annoyed and worried about the fact that half of Europe's on fire
at
the moment. I know,
and I've gone from something very wholesome and personal to something very huge and important on a global level. I have some very good friends in Madrid, so I've been following, well, who could not be following the wildfires? So it's not so much annoying as upsetting me, but it's also kind of the talk around the wildfires. And I think if this isn't a call to kind of louder action for all of us, we had our own fires here in Slieve na Mon last week, one in Waterford broke out yesterday. And they have said now the belief is that 90% of wildfires globally are started by humans. I mean, accidentally, usually. Hmm. But the lack of responsibility people take, and people are still bringing barbecues to forest areas in Ireland. And I actually ran after a man in Kilkenny last week who just flicked a cigarette butt while I was walking through it. Not only a small wood, but it was like a tinderbox, still smouldering. So I stamped it out and I actually ran after him. And I did say kind of politely, look, you know, did you see what you just did there? Now, he did say, sorry, yeah, I didn't think. But we have to take more responsibility. And my friend in Madrid who sent me a picture, she said, people keep saying they need more help, they need to send more air corps, resources. They don't understand these fires are actually not extinguishable. We're relying on the weather changing.
Yeah.
And these fires are so powerful. They've created these fire clouds we're reading about now that create a microclimate within the fire that makes it worse. There's thunderstorms happening within these clouds that have lightning and increase the temperature further. So they're almost unextinguishable. And the one near Hirsch, it's a 22 kilometre perimeter. So there comes a point where all you can do is just get away from it. But it's terrifying. It's terrifying. And I think if this isn't, you know, a call to action for all of us to step up and start sort of demanding more action and also just behaving more responsibly ourselves. I know it's terribly serious, isn't it? But it's also really important.
One of my inexhaustible supply of children lives in France with her kids, and now it's calmed down now. But for a few weeks, they could only go out in the morning. She's small kids; they were trapped in the house, and they were in Brittany. They're not even in the supposedly hot part of France. Yeah. I know people who've had who bought holiday homes there that were going to retire. Now it's too hot to go there during the summer.
I know. Ireland is now the most attractive place, isn't it?
Yeah. isn't that a thing that, like, when we're having the hot weather, everyone's going, oh, I'll take it. But, you know, we're all going la 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 with our fingers in our ears, pretending what's actually happening isn't happening.
Yeah, exactly. And people they think that climate change is just rising temperatures, and it's not. It's creating entirely new weather systems and atmospheres, which is incredibly dangerous and will affect all of us. But yeah, Ireland's still pretty nice, though.
But aren't we all hypocrites about this to a certain degree?
True.
In that we're still getting on planes, for instance.
True.
Yeah.
In the very near future.
We're getting on planes tomorrow. Not together, just to be clear.
The Mayo curse is real because the last member of the 1951 team died 3 years ago, leaving the cosmic door open for Mayo to win Sam. The first time they got to a final since the curse was lifted. Well, yeah, but they did actually interview, when most of them were alive, all the members of that team, and none of them remembered it, this particular curse. Someone else says, first cousins share a pair of grandparents Second cousins share a pair of great-grandparents, etc. Your parents' first cousin is your first cousin once removed. Your grandparents' first cousin is your first cousin twice removed.
Yeah, that's what I said. That's exactly what I said.
I'd still go back to cousin, actually, yeah. rather than some sort of complicated
trickier
thing.
Trickier than long division.
Yes. So you were driving home and kind of saw someone on the street.
Yeah, this was scary. Well, I didn't see him. My partner Leanne did. So we were driving home. It was dark. So it was probably 11 or 12 at night. We were picking one of the girls up from her part-time job. And Leanne said, "Stop the car. There's somebody in the road." She saw what she thought was a body to the left-hand side, not in the ditch, but on the grass verge, on a very dark country road with no lights or anything like that. And we stopped the car. I got out to the guy, who had obviously been on a night out. And I said to him, "Are you okay?" And he's pretty groggy. And he said, yeah, I'm fine. And I said, "Look, can we give you a lift home?" He said, no, I'm fine. So I was left in a really difficult situation. Like, what do you do? I didn't think it was right to phone the guards because he was compass mentis. He was talking to me. He just wanted to be left alone to sleep it off or to chill out for a bit. Now, this is a country road that there's really nothing on for 4 or 5 kilometres. I didn't think it was right to phone an ambulance. So I found myself really annoyed in the situation. Like, I'm leaving this person there, but, you know, the annoying point is how a good night out could potentially turn into a disaster for somebody like that. So I just thought it's worth saying, you know, we've got a responsibility. If we're out together and we're socialising, particularly in a rural area, you got to make sure that your friends can get home safely, because it could end up a lot worse.
If this was a kind of remote road, do you have any idea where he was coming from?
No idea. I'm guessing either, like, because he's probably 5 kilometres from the closest pub. So maybe having a few drinks at a friend's house or something. I don't know.
Was it on Saturday or Sunday? Was it after Mayo 1? I wonder, was that a factor
it
there?
I think it was Friday night, actually.
Ah, right, okay.
So it wasn't connected. And we're County Meath anyway, so they're less emotional about Sam and Meath.
Oh, okay. No need to get carried away about the rugby. We only started winning when the Southern Hemisphere players started playing for Ireland. The ones who weren't good enough to play for their own country.
Ouch!
Oh, yeah.
But there's an element of truth to that as well.
I'm thinking of leaving Paris, where I live, next summer and spending it in Ireland, so it's more comfortable and bearable. I sleep and hate biting mosquitoes. Another texter says, "I wonder how many people that are horrified by these fires are taking multiple foreign holidays a year." That's an absolutely fair point. So little baby monkeys you learned about.
Not so much baby monkeys, but a new species of monkey was discovered in the Congo. I can see how excited you both are by this. Anyone who knows me knows that I'm very interested in primates, the simian kind, not the church leaders who put curses on people. I love a monkey. I mostly love apes, but I also am very fond of monkeys. And for the first time in 75 years in Africa, they discovered a new species of monkey. Now, it's very exciting for the natural world and for those of us who are interested in it. It's also, you know, the reason that animals aren't discovered for a long time tends to be because they are very well hidden. So often when they are discovered, it maybe means that their habitat is shrinking, and that's obviously not a good thing.
Yeah.
But this little monkey, it's related to the colobus monkeys, which are interesting because they're one of the owners underneath, they have no thumbs. They can't open jars. God, they love them.
Oh, no. Or play the banjo.
Or play the banjo. So they reckon it's related to the colobus monkey, but it's a black furry monkey with kind of these very orange lips. Looks a bit like Mrs. Brown, like a Les Dawson drag. But looks very disgruntled and a bit peed off. So I hope that we can, and obviously local people in the area in the Congo where these monkeys were seen, they have said they have seen them since 2008. They have been reported, but to obviously categorise them, they have to be properly discovered to be genetically distinct from other monkeys. And that's now happened. So hopefully they will give this monkey a name, put it in the right genus, and then leave it in peace. And that would be the nice thing to do. But it's very excited.
It is extraordinary, because you can understand that they found a new sort of insect that hadn't been classified before. But you know, a simian is quite large. It's quite extraordinary that there's still animals to be discovered.
And all the new ones, they discovered another one back in 2012, which is more kind of a baboon type. And he just looked, he had the kind of face you'd never forget. So nobody had seen him before. Like, monkeys do have great faces. And this one looks particularly, he's like, "Just leave me alone. Just leave me alone."
But they're hyper aggressive, aren't they? They've got these huge tribal battles primates, you know.
No, not really.
Aren't chimpanzees like hyper?
Some of them. Okay, baboons, yes. Of the great apes, and obviously the great apes would be kind of the gorillas, bonobos, orangutans, chimps. Chimps are more like, the more like humans they are, the more aggressive they are.
We're pretty aggressive.
We're apes as well. That's what I mean. That's why. So chimps are quite aggressive. Gorillas, orangutans are not aggressive at all. And with monkeys, macaques can be very aggressive. Baboons are a-holes. Like, you don't ever ask a baboon to a party.
Really?
Yeah, they're very aggressive creatures. Yeah. But for the most part, like, the great apes are fairly peaceful and just want to be left alone. And most of the little monkeys do as well. Colobus monkeys, without their thumbs. They just want you to open stuff for them.
Donald says, a listener says, Donald, you were taking a risk offering this guy a lift. It could have been a scam, potential robbery or stroke carjacking. Does that happen a lot in Meath?
Not that kind of thing? Not that I know of. And he was like, how Leanne saw him is a mystery to me, because he was lying down almost in a state of asleep, you know, being asleep in a damp grass verge on the side of a road. So if that was his attempt at pulling a scam, he wasn't very visible.
Or was it? Yeah, he'd been practicing. Another text says, all of what you say about France and Spain has been happening to sub-Saharan Africa for many years. We rage at their climate refugees as if they're here for fun. Let's hope we'll be more accommodating to our European climate refugees if they arrive on our shores.
Very valid
point. And Australia and California, you know, we've had some serious...
when you talk about the fire clouds that they're discovering now, can I remember the name? Pyrocumulonimbus? Is that the name of
the
fire
cloud? Very impressive.
They have been present in Australia for the last 25 years.
Wow.
But if it's confirmed that these fire clouds are now in France and Spain, it's the first time that they would have been kind of seen in this part of the world.
Wow.
Which is reassuring, isn't it? But no, you're absolutely right. We haven't been terribly kind to our...
No,
friends,
it's just like, no, it's not a common question.
Yeah.
Why do they want to come here? Really, it's not asked enough. Another, it's not a jolly set of subjects this week, because I think, you know, climate change, yes.
New monkeys.
Nice
new
monkeys.
Hyper-aggressive monkeys.
Hyper-aggressive monkeys, climate change and AI.
Yeah. Well, do you know what? The whole AI thing, I see this on a daily basis. What we're seeing at the moment is AI is stripping out and hollowing out layers in organizations. So, like, there's far less entry-level roles for graduates. There's far less mid-management-level roles. So it's really made me think about the future. And one of the things that I've got to say is that I think we've got to get back to creating our own work. So whether you're the electrician, the plumber, the carpenter, you know, when you look at the safe jobs of days gone by, getting a good job in law or a good job in finance or a good job in engineering, so many of those positions are going to be at risk over the next 10 years. And a lot of the roles that won't be replaced are coming back into vogue. So it's made me think about what you need to do is create something rather than completing tasks, because the world is changing.
Yeah, but that just mightn't be. I mean, there's always been tradespeople because we've always needed tradespeople, but in so many other areas, there just mightn't be enough jobs. They might have just been eradicated.
Elon Musk thinks that we're coming into an era of real abundance. This is what he was eulogizing.
AI and any sentence that starts with Elon Musk thinks.
He thinks that this is going to create a huge amount of abundance. I don't agree. And the weird thing that's happening with AI at the moment is that all the people that work in places like OpenAI and in Claude have said that they understand how the initial large language models were created, but they don't now understand how they make decisions or reach conclusions. Oh. And the weird thing is, the first generation of AI was made by people. The next generation is being made by AI, and we've less of an understanding. So I don't want to be a doomsayer.
They don't understand how.
No, they understand the code that was written. Yeah. They understand the information, the data that it was trained on. But they have said, because it's based on a neural net, similar to how our brains work. But they don't understand even now how AI reaches conclusions or decisions, which is pretty scary.
Yeah, and AI is writing code now.
Yes, absolutely.
So there's algorithms and websites and all sorts of things that AI is deciding the way it should be.
Absolutely. And there was the case the other week in OpenAI where they were testing a new piece of a new generation of AI for cyber hacking. And it was put in what they call a sandbox. So it didn't have access to the internet. It was in this secure sandbox and it found a vulnerability, managed to escape the sandbox, access the internet, find out how to cheat the tasks that it was allocated, get back into its sandbox and pretend that it had legitimately completed the tasks.
And lock the door again. That's
yeah,
so creepy.
Crazy stuff. And it realized.
It cheated, though. That's the kind of.
Yeah.
No moral compass there.
Yeah. And the other example in Anthropic, which was remarkable, and in another controlled environment, one of the tests they did was they gave the AI agent access to a certain amount of emails and a number of tasks to complete. And while it read through the emails in this fictional company, it realized that there was talk about they were planning to close down the AI agent. And there was also emails suggesting that two of the fictional employees were having an affair with each other. And the AI agent emailed the fictional employees and blackmailed them that if it was to be shut down, it would expose their affair to everyone. Now, of course, this is a test environment, but there's some scary stuff happening with it.
It's deeply sinister. We need an army of monkeys. That's what we need. Train up the monkeys. Much safer.
Planet of the AIs.
Right, so given all of that, the two things you're both looking forward to.
I know, can I change mine? Well, I'm going to London tomorrow. In my defence, the other trips I've taken this whole year have been by ferry and train. I have done a lot more ferry and train travel.
Yes,
but tomorrow we are, in my defence, we are getting a plane. I'm working in the UK, so bringing my son with me, as I tend to have to do.
Is it easy? Is it difficult or easy to keep him entertained, or is he?
He's basically a middle-aged man, so he's fine.
Okay,
but
grand.
It's funny because you were talking last week about the, you know, the single parent travel thing, and actually, as a very small family unit, me and my son, single parent with one child, the traditional big family summer holiday, it can be quite isolating, doesn't really work for us. So we take a lot of little mini trips over the whole year and we do little small adventures, which works better for us. So I have a job on in London, so I'm taking him with me and we're doing a theme park, we're doing open air cinema, we're going to museums and we have a lovely week planned.
It's very cultural, isn't it?
Okay, that's nice. Yeah, that's nice. And you're going to Spain? But, like, are you worried about the temperature there? Is this?
I'm not too worried about the temperature. We're going to Saluzza, so we're what, 400 or 500 kilometres from where the fires have been. But the thing that's nice about this trip for us is we're just taking the eldest two girls, so they're 16 and 17. So it is just a different type of family holiday where we're swapping the inflatables for Kindles. They're pretty self-sufficient. They sleep through the night. And, yeah, it's just, I suppose, an opportunity to get away and have a different type of holiday.
Yeah, but 16 and 17 though, would you have to keep an eye on them a bit?
I suppose technically yes, but in practice probably not so much. No, they're well able to sit down and have a good conversation and they're responsible enough to keep themselves out of major trouble.
Yeah, no, I mean like as in when mommy and daddy have gone to sleep, that like, you know, you wake up in the morning and find noggins of vodka underneath the bed kind of thing. Or is am I...
There has been a rumor
defaming your children.
There has been a rumor about one of them jumping across a balcony and shimmying down a drain pipe, but that hasn't been proven.
Right. Right. Okay, that hasn't been proven. Still, though, a great skill there. Should be said. Great coordination. Anyway, enjoy both your trips. And we'll talk to you when you get back.
Thanks
to Donald and you. And Mayor Dunphy.
Moncrief. Weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.